are listening to a free version of Majority Report with Sam Steeder. To support this show and get another 15 minutes of daily program, go to majority.fm, please.
Today's episode is sponsored by Secrets, Crimes, and Audio Tape, an audio drama podcast told week after week. This week's audio drama is Margaret Atwood's Handmaid's Tale. The Handmaid's Tale takes place in a dystopian future where handmaids are assigned to bear children in a totalitarian theocracy that has overthrown the United States. This is not a comforting listen at this time in American history. It's very relevant. It's a very cool episode and podcast. You should definitely check it out. Listen to the first couple episodes today on Secrets and Crimes and Audio Tapes on iTunes, Stitcher, the Wondery app on Android, or wherever you listen to podcasts.
The Majority Report with Sam Steeder.
It is Tuesday, January 10th, 2017. My name is Michael Brooks, and this is the four-time award-winning Majority Report. We're broadcasting live steps from the industrially ravaged Gowanus Canal in the heartland of America, downtown Brooklyn, USA. On today's program, the studio is warm because Big Waz, Wozni Lambre, is with us. ESPN True Hoop, Two Dope Boys in a Podcast. We're going to be giving you coverage, discussion of the Jeff Sessions hearings taking place right now. Our neo-Confederate Attorney General, a cabinet that represents all brands of racism imaginable. Waz and I are going to be giving you an anthropological breakdown of the different types, from the outer borough, don't date my daughter, to the proper station in life, neo-Confederacy. Also, Bernie Sanders proved once again last night that he's not perfect, but he is by far the best we got on his CNN town hall. He took questions from a whiny small business owner, a idealistic teacher, many others. FBI issues arrests in the Volkswagen conspiracies because of their global admissions conspiracy. I'm going to get to that. In Iran, at the funeral of former President Rafsanjani, who began his career as a opponent of the regime, or rather, as a founder of the revolution and a key figure in Iran's revolutionary government, he ended as something of a dissident, and there were rallies in support of reform, the Green Movement, and criticisms of Iran's role in Syria at his funeral. Also, Republicans are stumbling. More senators come out and say, maybe we shouldn't get rid of Obamacare like that. Maybe we got to take a minute. Let's see how that plays out. More hearings this week. Ben Carson's coming up tomorrow. You know we're going to touch on that. New head of Homeland Security as well. The guy who used to run Guantanamo Bay. Also a Gold Star father. Not sure how Trump feels about that part. That and so much more on today's Majority Report. Fresh Two Dope Boys dropping today. Phil and I rip apart something called the safety pin box, which is one of the most embarrassing interventions in race I've ever seen in my life. Made me feel like Bill O'Reilly when I read about it. Let me tell you something that does not make me feel like Bill O'Reilly. Makes me feel the opposite of Bill O'Reilly. Healthy, responsible, and eating at home. Blue Apron. Blue Apron is the incredible pre-made food service that we've been happy to talk to you about. And it comes with seafood, which is sourced sustainably under standards developed in partnership with the Monterey Bay Aquarium Seafood Watch. Beef raised humanely. Chickens are free range. Pork is raised naturally. regenerative. That was a very Cedar moment of me. Farming practices are used for produce. Blue Apron can be delivered to up to 99% of the continental United States and 99.5% of food deserts. Because Blue Apron ships the exact amounts of each ingredient required for recipe, they are reducing food waste. I mean, look, every time I've had Blue Apron, I've genuinely been shocked at how good it tastes. I was skeptical of the concept when I first heard about it, I'm not going to lie. And then I first had Blue Apron, I want to say, like, I mean, a while, well before they became a sponsor. And I actually had I think it was a steak. It was really, really good. Here are some of the meals that are available. Cooking together builds strong family bonds. It's also not a bad idea if you're out in the dating market, Matt. So put down the cereal boxes and cook a Blue Apron with a Tinder date. Okay, Matt?
Okay, Michael.
Okay. Sound really enthusiastic about that. I'm not lying. It's good. And if it comes pre-made, you know it will taste good. Like, you don't have the pressure riding on you of like, how am I actually going to make this? Because that scenario can blow up in your face, as Waz knows. Yeah, you're not even on mic yet.
Oh, okay, good.
Yeah. I always get the shots in before someone's on mic. Yeah, yeah. Yeah, no, I know. Yeah, tell me. Anyways, research shows that Blue Apron families cook together nearly three times more often. That actually is pretty amazing. Seared pork chops with these are some of the meals that are available in January. Seared pork chops with farro and cranberry chutney, spaghetti squash and marinara with mushrooms and garlic knots, spicy shrimp and Korean rice cakes with cabbage furikake, which sounds amazing. That's the one I'd go for. I like Asian food. Check out this week's menu and get your first three meals free with free shipping by going to blueapron.com/majority. You'll love how good it feels and tastes to create incredible home-cooked meals at Blue Apron, so don't wait. That's blueapron.com/majority. blueapron.com/majority. Blue Apron, a better way to cook. Let's get to our first piece of sound real quick. As we all know, and of course, the great Waz is with us now. He's in studio. We'll get on to him. Is he on? Well, I guess we'll take that break and then get him on camera. Or is he already on camera? Okay, cool. I don't know. You tell me. All right, great. So let's go over this together. This is, Senator Sessions' hearings are happening this morning, and, I tweeted out yesterday that Jeff Sessions was too racist for Reagan's America, which says something. We went over yesterday his record on everything from voting rights to civil rights to comments he's made to his views on immigration. And it really sort of boils down to that there is one group of people that should be very, very excited about this nomination. And a couple of really astute protesters in D.C. this morning had the right idea. They showed up in the proper attire to express the proper support for Donald Trump's nominee for Attorney General. Let's take a look.
Just for those listening, yeah. They're dressed as KKK members, and one has a Go Jeffy Boy fan hand.
One of them has a Go Jeffy Boy fan hand, and they're also shouting, they're saying, Go Jeffy Boy, and then when they're getting escorted out by security, they say, hey, wait, I'm white, I can't be arrested. So that is perfect. Although, as Kelly informed us this morning, check out this for a CNN notification in 2017. Sessions says, what was it? I hate the Klan.
I detest the Klan.
I detest the Klan. I love how that's like
it was
on
a
the
push
table
notification.
In 2017.
Alert. Yeah. Future Attorney General detests the Klan.
And also like the Klan.
Super right? familiar. We're like,
I detest a certain organization who shall remain nameless.
By the way, as we have True Hoops Waz in studio, doesn't that who does that look like a bit? That's an NBA related figure who's been political in the last.
It's kind of Popovich.
Yeah, yeah. It looks like Popovich is out protesting.
He could have been his brother or older cousin.
I like Popovich is like, I want another ring, but street theater is more important.
Oh God!
I mean, what do you think of that, man? It's a good protest.
I mean, it's effective in that it's getting attention.
Right.
You want to be as loud as possible without actually killing somebody, you know? So I feel like...
Yeah, killing people bad.
Yeah, not
killing people, killing people not good.
Or dressing like busting good. Cops over the head. You know what I'm saying? Like, this is effective in that it's loud and it gets the point across. And that's going to get on TV no matter what.
It's definitely going to get on TV.
So it's effective.
Let me let everybody know about what I got to let them know about, and then we'll get to more of what's going on with Sessions and everything else. You're a comedy connoisseur, Waz.
Somewhat, not really.
So, okay. Thank you. Very good job.
Very good job
setting up the copy.
No, thank you. I don't want to, you know, there are people that take this stuff so seriously. Like, everybody's some kind of nerd or expert. I don't want to put myself... Excuse me?
All right, I'm going to reset this.
Sorry.
It's all right. Everyone's totally fine. It's pretty funny. Everyone loves comedy. Waz had like a little like Woody Allen moment with that. It was interesting. I don't know. I mean, what do I know about comedy? I'm not an expert. Well, you don't need to be an expert to enjoy SEESO. That's S-E-E-E. That's S-E-E-S-O. Is the new ad-free streaming service bringing you hilarious original series, hand-picked classics, week of stand-up specials, and more. Every episode of SNL ever, including new episodes the day after they air. So you can go back into the time when SNL was amazing.
Phil
Hartman
time.
Phil Hartman time or Eddie Murphy time. Or you can see the day after they've pissed Trump off. You can understand what he was tweeting about the night before. Even British comedies like the original Office with Ricky Gervais, that is a classic, and the entire Monty Python catalog. Discover the next big names in comedy and watch icons before they made it big, like Lewis or Louis C.K. That's a pretty prominent comedian, Waz.
Yeah, I'm familiar with some of
Well, hey, I know that you're not an expert on comedy. I'm trying to coach you along. Hannibal Buress, African-American comedian, Waz.
Well, you know, all black people know each other.
Yeah,
he's on the Eric Andre Show.
He's on the Eric Andre Show and also was a writer for 30 Rock. Chelsea Peretti and the man who made Bill Cosby's life different. Chelsea Peretti, Amy Schumer, Bo Burnham, and so many more. CISO is ad-free and just $3.99 a month.
It's a great deal.
When I was on CISO recently, I honestly did rewatch The Office with Ricky Gervais. I'm not going to lie. I think that is like peak uncomfortable as anything and hysterical. And The American Office actually wasn't even bad. Like it was a good American version of it. But The British Office is a singular viewing experience. So that's what I took advantage of my CISO time to
watch. And they don't beat a dead horse over there, so you can just watch the whole thing over the course of a weekend.
Yeah, exactly. If you want the best new original comedy, you want CISO. And right now my listeners can try CISO free for 2 months. Waz is jumping on it right now because he's trying to become a comedy expert. When you use promo code MAJORITY at checkout, just go to CISO.com right now. Sign up for 2 months free with promo code MAJORITY at checkout. That's CISO.com, promo code MAJORITY.
Just give me one snowpocalypse.
One snowpocalypse?
Yeah, that's it.
All right.
Locked in the house, and I'll...
That kind of was happening this weekend,
yeah,
actually.
That was why we were gonna do something.
We were gonna dress up as Klansmen to protest Sessions, but our plans got canceled. You were going to dress up as Clarence Thomas, and I was going to dress up as a Klansman, and we were going to protest for Jeff Sessions. This is another thing that I did that was incongruent with the weather, actually, which is that I shaved. I had a beard, but I wanted to get rid of it. It was getting too just uncomfortable and itchy, and I don't like when I like the stubble.
Yeah,
I don't like the whole like woodsman thing. Mm. I remember the one time I was seeing this girl and she was visiting Vermont. She texted me. She said, "Everybody here looks like a lumberjack." And I happened to be at a bar in Bushwick, and I tweeted her back, and I was like, "Everyone here looks like a lumberjack." Like, it just gets silly. And so sometimes you got to shave it off. You got to get clean. And that's, of course, why I reach for my Harry's blade. And what I love most about Harry's is the closeness, the smoothness of the shave. I have sensitive skin, and it gets the job done every time. Does a great job. I used Harry's before they were a sponsor, in fact, and I've never looked back. For decades now, one big razor company has relentlessly increased prices and reaped immense profits at the expense of their customers. See, we could read that like Bernie. So Jeff and Andy, two ordinary guys who were fed up with getting ripped off, started Harry's to fix shaving. Harry's knew that the only way to ensure quality was so that they was Harry's knew that there was only one way to ensure quality, so they bought their own factory. By taking less profit and selling you directly over the internet, Harry's offers their blades at half the price, just $2 a blade compared with $4 you'll pay at the drugstore. And here's what you get with Harry's. Harry's razors include everything you need for a close, comfortable shave. A weighted ergonomic handle, five precision engineered blades with a lubricating strip and a trimmer blade, rich lathering shave gel, a travel blade cover. And here is the offer that is just for Majority Report listeners. Harry's is so confident, and this really is very confident, in the quality of their blades that they want you to try their shave set for free. For free. Just like healthcare should be in this country. You heard that right. You just cover shipping when you sign up. Plus, as a special offer to the fans of the show, go to Harry's right now, to majority, harrys.com right now. Enter code MAJORITYREPORT at checkout and get a post-shave balm also for free. That's harrys.com, code MAJORITYREPORT. Harrys.com, code MAJORITYREPORT. And we will not go to break because we are here. We talked a lot about Jeff Sessions yesterday, and I think that, you know, I mean, in some respects, there isn't a great deal more to add. I mean, everything is on the record. This is a guy who opposed civil rights, who was too racially inflammatory to get confirmed for a federal position in the 1980s, which is extraordinary. I mean, it's just extraordinary. And, you know, he didn't reverse himself on anything. I think he stylistically reversed himself. And what kind of concerns me, and I want to play this sound because we do already have some sounds from the hearing, not just the great protest that came forward. There's a lot to learn in this, Waz. So let's break this down. Senator Susan Collins, who is the only kind of, I hesitate to call her a moderate, but if anything exists such as a Republican moderate in the current United States Senate, it would be Susan Collins from Maine. She's in a tricky political position, in fact, because traditionally, like, the New England political Republican moderate thing works as a brand, but now you got a situation in Maine where actually the Republican Party there, even though it's not a Republican state, has gone completely off of the deep end. I mean, LaPage, the governor of Maine, is kind of like the precursor to Trump.
Wow,
unfunny Trump.
That's crazy that that's happening in Maine, because it's crazy. Not happening amongst the Republicans.
Yeah, right, exactly. I know. They're a total outlier. Insane. Total outlier. But this is Susan Collins, who has a reputation. You know, she couldn't endorse Trump. She's pro-choice. And so people are looking to her. And maybe, you know, she'll block repealing Obamacare. But this is her doing a character confirmation testimony for Jeff Sessions this morning. And just bear in mind again that Jeff Sessions is a guy who we know, you know, it's reported he called a fellow prosecutor boy. He said the NAACP was un-American. He, you know, and then even in the Senate testimony in the 80s, basically said, oh, it was wrong to call them un-American. They may be a threat to our national security. And was one of the earliest people to endorse Donald Trump. So bear that in mind when you hear Susan Collins, a quote-unquote moderate, and then pay very close attention to what she's talking about Jeff Sessions having done that demonstrates his anti-racist civil rights bona fides. Let's check this out.
I have never witnessed anything to suggest that Senator Sessions is anyone other than a dedicated public servant and a decent man. In 1980, long before he ran for the Senate or even dreamed of being Attorney General, Jeff Sessions sponsored the first African American member of the Mobile Lions Club. As U.S. Attorney, he provided leadership in the successful convictions of two Klan members who had murdered an African American teenager. As ranking member of the Senate Judiciary Committee in 2009, he appointed the first African American to serve as chief counsel to the Republican members. My friends, these are not the actions of an individual who is motivated by racial animus.
Why don't you take it from there for a second, Waz? I got my thoughts on this, but I want to know what you're out of the gate with on this one.
The prosecuted two murderous Klansmen. That you get a demerit badge for that. It's just...
She
amazing.
Literally just said, as a prosecutor,
he did his job.
He approached a terrorist organization that murdered children and he applied charges to them.
What the fuck?
I mean,
you're welcome.
I am not a big fan of Southern white racist dudes, but I would actually say that that might be a little bit too much of a low bar for them.
Yeah. That's just a weird thing to hang your hat on.
Could you imagine that? She's like, he basically gave you two, like, personal recommendation friendship guys. Then he prosecuted two Klan murderers.
And
that is encounter.
He got someone into the Lions Club.
He got someone into the Lions Club. And then that overturns an entire political history of opposition to civil rights, the Voting Rights Act,
right,
immigration reform, and early support for the most overtly bigoted candidate in modern American history.
And this is the thing. A lot of times the bar is so low for white people to claim that they're not racist. A lot of times, you know, you get the standard, I work with a black guy, and I never feel the compulsion to call him a.
I never punched him in the face yet.
Right,
so,
you know,
like,
it's like
no
I can't
problem.
Be racist.
I have
you know,
Waz on the show a lot.
You know, so it's or it's something really. You know, my sister is dating a black dude, and they have a kid, and I love my nephew. a lot of times the bar is so low, and you know, even there you're like, you know what, this is somebody who's shown love and compassion for a half black human being, baby, you know. All right, but to say as an attorney general I did my job and prosecuted two murderous Klansmen, and that's just like black pass stamped and approved. It's like, come on, you know, like how low can we go here?
But isn't that also though the other problem? Like, this is a conversation I think gets really abstract, but we're actually seeing it in real time with these hearings. Like racism, because maybe we take him at his word. Maybe Jeff Sessions, you know what? Maybe I listened to an interview with Jeff Sessions once. On Glenn Thrush's podcast on Politico, and he sounded to me like he was never a particularly personally hostile guy, right? Like that wasn't the point.
Yeah.
So that when we reduce racism to this like endless litigation about your personal attitude and morality, then you can have a hearing where her comeback is he did his job and he's been personally friendly to some black people versus his entire policy portfolio and right. agenda is one of functional white supremacy and systemic racism.
Right.
If that's always the conversation, if it's just about like what's quote unquote in your heart, then okay. Because I mean, I don't know what's in his heart.
I mean, the conversation is always the same to me. It's like this guy has shown hostility in his actions yes. towards a certain group of Americans in the past. He didn't call a bunch of people N-words publicly. You know, like a lot of times that's basically the threshold right there.
Yeah,
like,
exactly.
Have you ever publicly used the N-word?
He has. That's the other thing. In the 80s, he didn't get
I
the
have
judgment.
Never called Mr. Figures boy.
So a lot of times, I think that's what you're signaling when you're Jeff Sessions or you're a Republican appointee. It's like, can you signal to Republican voters that, look, I'm not the guy that liberals caricature? That's the line. That's it. It doesn't matter if you're, you know, hostile again to a certain group of Americans. It's just, are you not the person that gets caricatured on Dave Chappelle's show?
Yeah, basically. But I mean, and I also think,
and that's all you have to do.
Well, you guys are making it very personal, and I've read, you know, some articles, but I don't know his exact record, but he has a very, very bad civil rights record.
Yeah,
yeah, that's the point.
So we don't need to know what's in his heart.
Well, that's what we're saying. That's what I'm saying. But that was Susan Collins' whole opening testimony.
Right,
he's a nice guy.
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
Like, don't worry about it. I mean, look, we went over it yesterday, but I'll go over it again.
Oh.
He's a strong supporter of the Shelby decision, which gutted the Voting Rights Act. That's the Shelby County versus Holder decision. He, would not take on many voter suppression cases throughout most of his career. And we have, again, like the personal comments, not to mention the Klan comment of, you know, I liked them until I found out that some of them smoked marijuana, when I thought that we should have had the guys protesting should have come out with, they should have said, like, they should have had like an anti-weed sign with them too, to call back to that joke. But I think that's, and then you're going to see in those hearings, and we didn't have time to pull from this, but the other thing that's coming up in those hearings is that the track for Republicans will be first establish the threshold that we're talking about that doesn't matter. Are you personally
always,
an asshole?
Always.
No. Weren't you? Did you? There was a black lady that slipped on some ice, and I saw you rather chivalrously offer her your arms. Did you not do that, Senator? Yes, Senator, I did. I took a shower after. Oh, probably shouldn't have said that joke. But you know what I mean? So they're going to do that. But then Cornyn, and maybe we'll get back to it later if we have time to pull it later, but I was listening right before we went on air. He basically started opening up a whole series of questions on, like, do you think it's appropriate to ever attack a police officer? Do you think it's appropriate to ever use violence against a member of law enforcement? So those are the two tracks we're going to see. We're going to see anybody that would extrapolate from this massively anti-civil rights, anti-voting rights record, a lesson about racism and white supremacy and the nature of what the Justice Department does. Because again, what is it going to mean functionally? All of the investigations into places like Ferguson, Baltimore, done, out the window. We're not doing anything on policing. We're not doing anything. I mean, I would imagine very little on still. There's still disparities in sentencing between powder and crack cocaine. We're not doing that. And then the next thing will be the law and order cop agenda.
This is the thing, though. I feel like when we as liberals use the term civil rights, I don't think the rest of the country views those issues as civil rights issues.
What do you think they view them as?
Limp wrist liberal bullshit issues, you know? Yes.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
that's basically what how people view that, like, you know, sentencing guidelines. People just don't view that as a civil rights issue. They just like stop committing crimes.
So do you think those two tracks of first you clear away the we reduce it to a personal moral question, so it becomes is Jeff Sessions a nice guy or not, and is he, and then in fact, calling somebody a racist is obviously like literally the worst thing in the world you could do to anybody ever. Anywhere ever, right? And then what's the next track? Well, obviously this black president and his black attorney generals don't respect cops, who, if there is any group in this country that's systemically oppressed or discriminated against,
it's obviously police.
It's cops. So those are like the dual tracks. And I want to get, I know you, do you have a point before we jump?
This is really superficial, but.
His big ears?
No. Yeah. I have never seen Senator Susan Collins before. And, you know, as I'm watching her speak, it's almost like I'm just looking at her. If the volume was all the way down, I would just be looking at her face to see what I can gather.
Right.
And that sounds stupid, but her makeup is asymmetrical. And it just, I know it sounds dumb, but that's
this
very.
This is like the player's ball.
No,
I
this
like
is
it.
Very.
Hate.
I love
it's
it.
It's very.
Yeah, I like it too.
It's just signals something weird. I've seen.
Well, people, cartoonists, they'll, when they draw like politicians, they'll make their face asymmetrical to like make people distrust
them.
She
did her own makeup, it's. Why would a moderate go up and say this? And so I'm like thinking, like, did you have a stroke? That's what
it's about.
I've
Senate,
seen
it's about
older
Senate
people
courtesy.
Wearing two different shoes, and I'm like, okay, I can gather some things about you.
You're saying something's missing if you're able to go up in this big hearing that so many people are going to see, and you can
just watch her talk. Yeah, I know it seems, but
a lot
you
of these people are probably drinking.
Watch people instead of that's another. I mean, I don't know.
I made sure I did not have any drinks before I went up there because Lord knows what could come out of my mouth. But I think, well, actually, the other thing too is that like the seamlessness of the agenda here, like in a certain sense, like Jeff Sessions. So say we took this secondary conversation that doesn't matter, which is his personal evolution. And he went from a place of genuinely like, actually, it was, you know, Jim Crow was wrong and blah, blah, blah. But now he backs all the voter ID laws, all of the So why do modern Republicans suppress the vote? Well, it's a strategy. So even if they are personally really have no, like, you know, they're texting their black friend and listening to Chance the Rapper on their way to ram through a you don't get to vote law.
Right.
That is literally the strategic response to the demographic changes of the country. So he can just slide historically. Like there isn't in that sense a functional difference.
I'm trying to think what kind of racist would you have to be to not get Republican support?
Yeah, I don't know.
I would like to know who is the person out there that if, you know, certain people in the party if the president backed him, a president-elect, you know, for the next 10 days backed him, who would they reject on racial terms?
I actually couldn't think of it. Honestly, what is it? Something happened?
So the New York Times is reporting that Fox News secretly settled harassment claims against Bill O'Reilly right after Ailes was ousted.
Oh. All by the fact this is no surprise. Let's get
to that, but it did happen not happening.
Yeah, okay, fair enough. Let's talk about Bernie's town hall a little bit last night on CNN, and we'll keep touching base on the hearings. I guess like first get to the question that Bernie got a little, people were annoyed basically because he didn't categorically reject voting for Sessions. Sherrod Brown has come out and categorically said under no circumstances am I voting for him. And I have to say though, I think like there's this thing with Bernie where there's he's not perfect, but there are definitely people out there who are still relitigating the primary who are always looking for, like, they made a caricature about him in their head, which they're looking for him to fulfill. So, like, one day he's going to be like, look, fine, I want white people to have health care. Black people, frankly, don't care for them. Why do you think I moved to Vermont? I don't want to deal with them, okay? The music's too loud. All right? Like, I don't think that that's really what's actually going on. But what was weird was that he was engaging in kind of like an odd, like, Senate courtesy.
Yeah.
So let's listen, though, to the follow. Or wait, would you tell me what you thought on that before we get to that?
I don't know who's he going out and, like, who does that do anything for him to come out and be extremely strident about, you know, his distaste or distrust of or dislike for Jeff Sessions? Like, who, like, what gets accomplished there?
Yeah,
even rhetorically, I don't understand. What are we doing there?
I guess
he has plenty of time
to
come out and be like, I'm going to vote against this.
So this is the follow-up, because this actually, you set it up perfectly. This is, they followed up on him, like, why weren't you more kind of blunt about Sessions and Pruitt? Let's check this out.
I have a question. All right, I'll let you ask it. Sorry to sneak up on you like that.
Bernie just schooled Chris Cuomo again and again and again last night. I loved it. Go ahead.
I have a question. All right, I'll let you ask it. Sorry to sneak up on you like that. Jeff Sessions, you say you have real concerns about what he did with respect to the Voting Rights Act. Pruitt, you say you have real concerns about the fact that, in your words, he's a climate change denier. But you say you won't commit to voting against him. How do you vote for someone who you think is a climate change denier? How do you vote for someone in Jeff Sessions that you think may have a problem towards voting rights?
All that I am doing here is trying to be polite.
It's too late to be polite. Time for that. Why are you politeness when you say you want to hear more real
this
stuff?
This is what would happen. If I said I'm going to vote against these guys, then his next question would be, how can you vote against them when I haven't even gone before you in a hearing? Ask him a question. So I'm trying to be polite.
I'm
but
still
I have
confused.
To say,
are you going
to
vote against them or are you going to vote for them?
I'm just saying, before I vote against them, I want to hear what they have to say.
Does it matter what they say if you are determined?
Of course it matters what they say. You know, but I think I know what they're going to say, but I think you got to give people the courtesy of hearing.
So you're not inclined to vote for them?
Good, thank you. You a lawyer?
I am.
You went to law school. I do that. All right.
Oh. So what do you think? I mean, like,
that's it right there. Yeah. It's like, yeah, it's these sort of social norms that we've kind of come to take for granted that have kind of been shattered in the last year and a half.
Right.
So that Bernie's still functioning that way, you know, Cuomo was actually taken aback by it, like, this isn't the time. But Bernie's just like, look, he's going to have his hearing. He's going to get asked some pretty tough questions, and we can take it from there. But I don't have to litigate this right now. When it comes time for me to give a yay or nay vote, my voice will be heard, bro. Like, get over it.
And also, isn't that right, too, like, in terms of the media critique? That, of course, if Bernie said,
like,
there's
Bernie,
no way I'm going to touch that, his record speaks for itself, doesn't matter if he came out and quoted Malcolm X and was like, you're listening to Fela Kuti and the rhythms of the strong African people.
And that's
I would still vote against him.
That's
then
what
Chris
I like
Cuomo
about him.
Would say, you're not being fair, don't we need to have... And that's, like, the other kind of weird thing too about today's moment in the United States and globally. Like, I was reading about Joschka Fischer, who used to be a German Green Party politician and German foreign minister, and, like, you know, he started on, like, the real left, moved to definitely the center left, but that's, like, and even Bernie, like, upholding some kind of, like, senatorial procedure. It's like the left, center left, which is what Bernie is, by the way, and the Greens in Europe, they're the ones who are, like, worried about, like, preserving NATO,
right?
Preserving Senate protocol.
Right.
Like, they're the ones who all of a sudden have reverted position, and they're very concerned about, like, the institutions. And then you see on the right, gone.
Yeah,
and it's been that way for a long time, but can the media ever catch up on that?
first thing I want to say about Bernie, what I like about him and how he deals with the media, you can tell he consumes a lot of media.
Right.
So he's studied. He's educated in how and why and the ways of how Cuomo's going to frame his questioning and even his line of his answers, his reactions. He's ready for every single thing. You could tell he's a guy who's like wanted to throw his remote at the TV a lot.
Yes.
Whether he's in his office or at his home. So that's why I love enjoying his interactions. And I think Bernie is somebody who, he's been in government so long, he sees the ways in which it can work. And that's why he's invested in, you know, keeping the institution intact. Yeah. Like, if you've been a part of something for so long and you can see all the good in it, you know, he's able to still see the good in that institution, whereas somebody like me, I'm like, it's going to get hard.
It's a rough one.
It's going to get
that's a rough
to
one.
Get back there.
But actually, you know what I'm wondering too, like, because I feel like, because, you know, obviously I cover primarily politics, and then Dope Boys, we do, you know, that's culture, business, but it still is in an orbit of generally a certain political perspective. But when you're in conversations like in sports media, but I know True Hoop, you guys touch on everything.
Right.
You're, you know, and what I guess I'm wondering is like the attitude that is exemplified in the quote, you know, in the mainstream media, the corporate media, all the things that we always have been talking about, like, you know, the false equivalencies,
right.
You know, he, you know, well, Obama, you know, like, you know, and you remember how it was during Obama, like, well, yeah, you know, the Republicans blocked all of his court nominees and said that he was a member of the Nation of Islam. But, you know, Obama was kind of rude to Eric Cantor once. So I think we all know that that's, you know, both sides need to be more bipartisan, you know, all that right. nonsense, yeah. which is like we're constantly criticizing. But I felt like before Trump, there was still more currency, like, in people who kind of covered sports more casually, like if it wasn't their kind of main thing, or even like in culture, of wanting to give deference to that kind of false equivalency. And I'm wondering if you think, like, in sports world or in the broader world for people who are touching on politics, do you think that, like, that's starting to crack with just the overwhelming weight of, like, wouldn't give a Supreme Court justice hearings, nominated the grab by the, you know, by the P dude, nominate the, aren't we on the first half? I don't know. I actually never know when I could technically swear. The, was he not a swear?
Man,
I feel like we're in a George Carlin bit right now.
On every mainstream media, we can all say it now.
That's true.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, I say it. I just,
well, yeah.
It's context dependent. But the, believe me. No, but look.
I've said that word.
But I'm just saying. No, but I'm just saying, like, but so, but yeah. Poor Matt.
Right.
We always get, but look, but I guess what I'm saying, so do you think that's cracking through it all? Like, people are starting to finally confront some of the reality of where we're at.
In the political media, the mainstream political media, I should say, because a lot, you know, yeah. I hate to get into it all technical, but people just throw around the word media as this blanket one size fits all when it's not.
It's
but like
very
the,
much not.
You know, the mainstream corporate media, I think they've been rocked so thoroughly by, like, you see all of these little pretenses that you guys hold so dearly. The core audience just doesn't care. At all. And so I think that's what you see Cuomo addressing right there. He's like, look, man, we did that. We tried that, and it's bullshit. Nobody actually cares about that.
Right.
You know, in sports media, you still have that because I think the main audience does want this kind of more broader talk in their sports.
Right.
Because it's not as, for a lot of people, it's not as personal.
Right.
Unless it's like college football and, you know,
no, that
and
matters.
That's Southerners, so you know what that is.
Yeah.
but for the
wait
most
wait a
part,
second, if we reinstitute chain gangs, will that hurt Miss You in the Orange Bowl? Hold on one moment.
It's so much more personal for it's, you know, personalizing sports, it's less mainstream than personalizing politics.
So how does that play though when someone like, cuz I, you know, I thought of you, we were on break. And I know, like, we texted about it, but we didn't really get to go over it. But, like, who we mentioned before, Coach Popovich, who, for people don't know, is the coach of the Cleveland San Antonio Spurs. I don't know why I had that dyslexic thing for a second. That's a very good team, very respected team. And he's not only political in the sense that, you know, after Trump won, pretty much all the other major coaches were like, training. You know, Popovich was like, no, I think that this is not a good thing for the country. I think that, and then over the break, he did a forum with Dave Zirin, who a lot of people will know is a radical sports writer, and Cornel West with a group of basically local young people in San Antonio area, in San Antonio. So, like, how's that? And that kind of makes me, like, in some ways it reminds me more of, like, you know, in the 70s, like, we think of, like, obviously Muhammad Ali, but even dudes like, you know, Bill Bradley was a pretty outspoken person when he was a Knick. So to me, it's almost like, are we getting retro on that? Is that coming back a little bit? Or is that still a real outlier?
Popovich is an outlier in the sense of, in the political culture, there's no equivalent to 5 championship rings, right?
Right.
Like, it's hard to get that entrenched in what you do and who you are in the way that Popovich is. So it's like, yeah, Popovich, like, even, you know, Phil Jackson was considered some, you know, hippie, you know, crazy person from Montana. But at the end of the day,
North Dakota. Williston,
oh, excuse me. But he lives in Montana now. Okay, sorry. My bad. I know that's your area of expertise. You see, this is what I mean about nerdery. Like, you don't want to jump out on a limb on something so that somebody can be like, well, actually, you know. So,
that was Matt definitely went full action.
Yeah, his antenna just went, whoa,
that was real.
Hold up. Hold up now.
I don't have much we're proud of, but
yeah,
it's hard to
entrench yourself in that way, in the way that Popovich has. He's like, his resume is so unimpeachable.
Right.
He cannot be fired. And by the way, he's employed. The person who signs his check, a guy named Peter Holt, if for those of you who aren't familiar, you can Google him.
Yeah.
There's no way in hell he voted for Hillary Clinton.
Right.
Not a chance.
Right.
In fact, he probably gave money to Donald Trump and his cause.
Right.
And that's the guy who signs Popovich's checks.
Right.
But Popovich is so empowered in who he is in his profession and in that culture and community. He can speak freely in a way that, say, Peter Jennings just can't.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? Like, Peter Jennings, there is no 5-ring equivalence for Peter Jennings. He's not respected in that way.
But what about on the player level? Because, you know, it's just, like, occurring to me, too, that, like, we're just in such a... Because, you know, Michael Jordan obviously was the dude that, like, made the fetish of, like, I think not. I mean, it's
staying above the fray.
Yeah, and I think it was like a marketing decision, and it was also seemed like it reflected like who he is as a dude. You know, like he's pretty self-oriented.
Sure.
But now to me, it's like LeBron has done some things. Like, I'm not going to stay in a Trump hotel.
Right.
And I respect that, and I'm glad he's doing it. But it also seems to me that in today's environment, like, if you're LeBron, how could you not do that?
Right.
Like, who is going to be okay with their favorite player being like, you know what I mean? Like, if you're like, it certainly would affect my perception of you as a player if you were cool with Trump.
I think the problem
like, is that a different pressure is what I'm saying, coming from the opposite ends.
It's two tracks for me. It's two. One is,
by the way, he says tracks too.
Well, I probably stole that from you.
Yeah.
If we're being honest.
That's
a good... That's a thing, everybody.
Tracks are a thing.
People say that.
Okay.
I mean, well, it's true.
So, for a guy like LeBron, I think the problem with this thing is so new.
Yeah.
This idea that athletes would politicize themselves, like, willingly, you know. And I don't think anybody's really got a handle of where the line is, how far they can push the envelope. Because if you see somebody like LeBron James, who is, if not the most powerful singular person in sports, he's in the top 3.
Definitely.
Right? So you would think, you or I would think, what's stopping LeBron? Who or what could stop LeBron James? But I don't think he's actually been able to sort of get a grasp of where that line is. Mm-hmm. Somebody like you or I or even Matt would say, there is no line when you're already a billion-dollar entity and you will com- continue right. to do so pretty much no matter what. I think because it's such a new thing that these guys are, you know, learning that. And I think another part of the problem is, like, even if you love Kobe Bryant, even if you love LeBron, you love Michael Jordan, what I find with athletes is that fans just have a hard time humanizing these dudes. Mm. It's just like they just have a hard time seeing them as fully formed people. It's like outside of their job function, keep the Trump and Hillary stuff out of this.
I just don't wear baggy trousers at the club.
Yeah.
And perform, you know, well on the field.
I think fans have a hard time internalizing the humanity of these dudes. And I hate how, you know, fake deep that sounds, but that's what it is. Yeah. You know, I'm hanging out with a buddy the other day, and he told me if LeBron James wanted to, he could have been Tiger Woods if that's what he dedicated his life to. It's this idea that, like, this guy's super meaning, like, he's such a gifted person,
right?
Thing, whatever he put his mind to, he could have been the very best.
Oh,
at
he
it.
Could have been golf.
And I'm like, look,
you're saying, okay,
LeBron James is probably the best basketball player I've ever seen, but he's not God, right? Like, he can't just do anything. And I think, and to me, that just connects to this idea that you don't see this person as a human being. It's like, yeah, I'm good at this, but I'm not great at everything. I just think people just, for whatever reason, with athletes, they don't humanize them in that way. I don't know.
Got
and
you.
So when you know this idea that LeBron could be deeply affected by this election, it's like, I don't care, you know, just dunk and make jump shots.
You sound like a conservative pundit now. Matt, you have a point, then we can jump to the fun half.
Well, that sort of hero worship that people put into athletes, it makes me think, like, if they were born in like the 1890s or something, they would probably think of like Napoleon or like war leaders like that.
Yeah,
so it's almost a
course.
Good outlet.
MacArthur.
That they think like, oh,
right.
Yeah, exactly.
Exactly.
What are your other favorite founding fathers, Mr. President-elect? I really want someone to do that to him. He's like, well, obviously, you got MacArthur. He was a great founding father. You got MacArthur. All right, we're going to get into the fun half. We have a lot more sound from that Bernie event. We're going to check in on the Sessions hearings. I'm going to talk about Rafa Sanjani and Iran because Waz keeps pushing me to get on that. And we'll take your call, 646-257-3920. 646-257-3920. The IMs are open. Subscribe to The Majority Report if you don't already on iTunes. Write The Majority Report a review. Check out our sponsors page. That's all the ways that you can find out about all the deals that you get. Remember, from members, the ads are cut out of the podcast, but they're included in the podcast descriptions.
They're edited out artisanally by me every single day.
Yes, they are. You should see the rage on Matt's face while he does that editing.
The scissors.
Yes, he does. It's very... He sort of listens to Nixon talk about bombing Cambodia at 2.5 speed, and he edits it out. We got...
5, please.
Wait, is it higher than that? Faster?
Oh, my God. Matt's at like 5 times right now.
Wow. Zen master. Subscribe to Two Dope Boys in a Podcast if you don't already. We are getting a lot of reviews on that show. And I also know that the one that dropped today is going to be entertaining. I mean, they're always entertaining. This one, I wonder if we'll get some clapback on it because we made fun of the safety pin box, which is the dumbest thing I've ever heard in my life.
I listened to that this morning.
Well, let's talk about it on the fun half.
Yeah. That
we'll get to it. 646-257-3920. We'll see you all on the fun half.